dinosaurs, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Join us live or listen offline. Visit us on the web at lhsinfo.org. We want to open your mind. We are
Linux in the Ham Shack.
And welcome to Resonant Frequency, the amateur radio podcast. My name is Richard, KB5JBV, and I am your host. As you can tell, we're back in Studio 1, Studio A. I'm still trying to figure out these studio numbers. But we're in the studio in the radio room at the house at this time. And we figured we'd best get you one out of the studio so that y'all don't gather up and lynch me. All right, we're going to go through a few things. Let's start with the website has been moved. You will no longer be able to pick up content of any kind from the Black Sparrow Media website because it is history. We were trying to consolidate all our stuff and get it in one place, but that didn't work out. The current URL, if y'all want to pass it around, if people get asking about it, is rfpodcast.info, rfpodcast.info. We are currently in talks with our current provider to see if we can't get a few things going on with them. All right, those of you that were picking Linux in the Ham Shack content up over Black Sparrow Media, please go to lhspodcast.info, lhspodcast.info to pick them up. And as you heard at the beginning of the podcast, we've got a little promo for the other show up, and we're going to see how that's going on. Okay, so let's talk about donations. The RF Podcast website, the whole Black Sparrow Media thing failed because due to the economic situation, people have not been able to help us out. I haven't had the out-of-pocket expense money that I've had. Russ is having to kick in some stuff now, and unfortunately, now that the shows are split and separated on separate sites, they have their own particular budgets. So when we talk about donations over here, please understand that donations over here don't support that show and vice versa. So I'm trying to get that squared away. We're also in talks with audible.com to help see if we can help pay some of the bills around here that direction. I'm sorry and I fought it, but we're going to at least have to see what they have to offer us. Please don't get too angry, and it shouldn't cause too much of an interruption in the show. All right, so let's move on to feedback. I've got quite a bit of feedback built up here, and I really need to get through all of it. I've answered one or two of y'all directly. However, there's some that I was saving for a show, and since I can't do it in the mobile studio, we'll get to it here. Oh, yes, one more word on the mobile studios. Mobile Studio 1 is good and quiet. Mobile Studio 2, which is the one I'm currently using to go back and forth, is not as quiet. We're going to have to do some experimentation and stuff and see what we can do with that. However, we will get back to you on it. All right, so the first piece of feedback we've got is from KD8NJZ and was posted in the forums over at Black Sparrow Media site. Good afternoon, Richard. Just wanted to stop by the forums and say hello. And thank you for what you're doing with Resonant Frequency Podcast. I've listened to quite a few episodes and really enjoy your laid-back, casual style. I'm also a listener of Practical Amateur Radio Podcast and Teen Radio Journey, both fine shows in Richard's opinion. I'm a pretty new ham, having earned my general ticket back in March. I bought myself a Yaesu FT60R and have really been enjoying 2 meters and 440. A fellow Wood County Amateur Radio Club member lent me his Yaesu FT900 so I could try my hand at HF until I'm able to pick up my HF rig and get an antenna set up. I was able to make a 40 meter contact with a guy down in Tennessee from my QTH in Ohio. Exciting stuff. Oh, you think that's exciting? Wait until you work your first Japanese station or something. I definitely do not have technical background, but am learning what I can in order to be a good operator. I'm 34 years old and have wanted to get my license since I was 20 or so. I'm glad I finally did. Thanks again for the work you are doing, helping new hams like me learn. I look forward to future podcasts. Well, thank you. Thank you. He didn't sign it. Thank you, KD8NJZ. It's nice to hear from the new guys out there. Like I said, you think Ohio to Tennessee is good? Wait till you talk to Japan, the Caribbean, England, some of these other places. Of course, if the solar cycle never starts back up, then it may not be an issue. And let me tell you, I didn't really wait a long time to get my ham license. I thought about it. I heard about it when I was a kid. Thought about it. My father was always trying to get licensed. I had pretty much let it go until he started working through getting himself licensed again and decided that I wanted to get on it. And I've had a ball. So you keep it up out there. And please let me know if you made the transfer. If you didn't, within a few weeks, I'll probably send you an email. And our next one's from KO4RB, sent via the feedback form over at the website. Apparently it's working, so at least it's nice to know that that's going on. It says, not specifically a forum feedback, doesn't fit either option on the list, and I'll get some more options in there. Just wanted to say it's good to see you back on RF, Richard. Well, thank you, and we've had a rough go. It hadn't just been... issues with the podcast and the podcast site. It's been a very challenging year so far. Y'all really wouldn't believe how challenging. But we're going to do our best to try and get some shows out. They may be a little sporadic, but we will definitely do what we can to make them happen as regularly as possible. All right, our next one's from BB, KC5PIY. I am trying to locate and download the original podcast. I have 12 through 40, except for 33. I'd like to pick up 1 through 11 and 33. Originally, I signed up with iTunes. Listening to your podcast, I realized things were beginning to move around. A quick link to pick up the lost episodes would be great. I travel a lot and listen to them when not working on the plane. Currently, I'm out of the country and listening through all the podcasts I discovered. Your information is timeless in many regards and worth keeping a copy close for reference. I am the new webmaster of the Entertain Incorporated out of San Antonio. Check out www.entertain.org. Yeah, I have to go check that for a quick look at the initial starter, restart of our site. I've got a lot of work to do. It's in its infancy, but it's much more usable than the original. Input, advice, suggestions are all welcome. You're ahead of me on this topic. Now, if I could hit a D-Star system from Bandera 73s, BB. Well, thank you, sir. And, let me run through this quick for everybody. We are having an issue with the iTunes feed, and I can't seem to get it rectified. There's something not right in the RSS feed, something. It works through FeedBurner. It works off of the website. I'm not real sure what's going on. Now, whereas the archived episodes are concerned, for some reason, I can't get the RSS. I'm having trouble with the RSS feed. So if any of you out there are familiar with the Drupal content management system, please get in touch with me. I can't get the RSS feed to show more than a handful of the previous shows. However, all the other shows are archived over its website. Go over to the website at rfpodcast.info, rfpodcast.info, and you will be able to get the older shows. And as far as this intertie.org, I'm going to have to go check that out. I got my IDs on what it may be about, but I'm probably wrong. The next one comes from Warren, or WWKB9TMP. Richard, I am so glad you have brought back RF Podcast. I've really missed hearing your rants. Grin. And a mobile podcast idea works for me. Your segment on 2 meters is dead on. Here in South Central Indiana, the repeaters start going quiet around 7 o'clock, and by 11 p.m., all you hear is the ID, unless there is a net on. When there are QSOs going on, they are not about radio, but closer to FRS type talk. Most of the 2 meter and 70 centimeter here is the same. I am 20 miles from Indiana University, and you would think it would be a nonstop 24/7, and it's not. The only busy repeater is a linked repeater on 440 that covers most of north central Indiana from Indianapolis south to Bloomington across the width of the state. And if y'all want to check that out, it's at www.w9win.org. And it isn't that busy. Times have changed in just the 12 years I've been licensed. I wish I had a solution to the wasteland, but I don't. Anyway, thanks for resurrecting the RF podcast, and go with the mobile version also. It works well for me, listening on my John Deere mowing at work. What road noise? And that's signed, regards, KB9TMP, and he has an Echolink node. Y'all check it out, 7492. KB9TMP-L. Maybe even go on by his website, KB9TMP, over at QSL.net. All right. Well, thank you. And we are glad to be back. And it's like I said, you know, it really didn't dawn on me till I started working nights again, which I've recently done, that, you know, when I first got licensed, there were repeaters that stayed hot all night long. And now, nothing. Now, I did this past weekend end up hooking up with one of the D-Star machines here. Well, I say locally in Denton, Texas, which is a little bit north of here. And they were linked into one of the reflectors, which stayed hot all night. Reflector 1C. Y'all check it out if you're on D-Star. And, in fact, there was even a general chat kind of net, you know, something similar to some of the HF nets on there. For quite a while that particular evening. I don't know how to change it either. You know, the enthusiasm is lost. I'm not sure what's going on. You know, I would think with all these young folks coming into the hobby and everything, that it'd be a different situation. However, we can only do what we can do and try and get things going best we can. So once again, thank you for writing in. Now, our next one comes from David. Let me remember his call. David N5DBK down here close by. David came in behind me as president of the Ham Association Mesquite for a while, and I have some respect for what David has to say, but sometimes he and I, we don't exactly see eye to eye. But that's okay. It's a wonderful country where you can agree to disagree. Richard, I want to thank you for your effort on getting another episode of Resonant Frequency back up and completed, regardless of our past differences. I do respect the work that you do for the hobby. I wanted to address the VHF wasteland issue that you spoke about in episode 41. Being associated with two local clubs, Rockwall and Mesquite, I try to only use the repeaters in which I support. Well, that's nice. I know the folks on the two club repeaters, and I honestly do not have time to scan the bands looking for activity or someone to talk to. I leave the dual band bass rig on 2 meters, Mesquite Ham 2 meter and Rockwall ARC 70 centimeter, and go about my work in the ham shack. And if a topic is brought up while I am in the shack that I want to respond, I do. I work a full-time job during the day and have a wife and kids that take time in the evenings and weekends like many other folks I talk to on the repeater. From 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., I'm sleeping. So I have no radio time unless I choose to stay up, say, on Friday or Saturday night. I have certain evenings like Tuesday nights that I have scheduled ham radio events such as club meeting or club nets, meetings or eyeball QSOs that my wife and family understand that they are important to me. The rest of the time, I work my radio time in where and when I can get it. You are correct in that the DFW area has way too many quiet and unused repeaters, and even some that only exist on paper. Some of these repeaters are club repeaters, and others are owned by individuals that like running repeaters. The club repeaters tend to get more use, but from what I can tell, it is not the club members using the repeaters. The club either has a superior repeater or a site that provides better range for the users. Why don't more club members use the repeaters they sport? I have yet to find an answer for that one. Ooh, this is a lengthy one, y'all. With the extra class privileges I have, I do spend more time on the HF bands in the evenings and weekends, where before I would be on the VHF and UHF bands. I feel that has had a significant impact on the activity of those bands. Before I had HF privileges, I would fill all my radios, mobile, bass, and HT with every repeater I could hit from my house, and even some extra ones that I might use down the road. That has all changed. I keep no more than 5 to 10 popular repeaters in my radios because those are the only ones I talk on, but realistically, I use only 2 or 3 on a regular basis. I find more enjoyment on 20 and 40 meter bands when I have radio time. I 100% agree that if we don't use the bands we have, we are going to lose them. Clubs need to get back to being friendly and helpful to their members and promote activity on club repeaters rather than monitor the repeater, waiting to turn off the repeater when anything that might cross the line is discussed or the repeater is used by non-club members. Go and visit a local club near you that you have been to and see how they treat guests and visitors. If you are not welcome as a guest at a meeting, you can be sure they run their repeater the same way. They wonder why their club attendance continues to drop, and they just don't seem to understand why. Keep up the good work. Hope to see you at HamCom. Well, at the recording of this, I think I've already missed HamCom, and if I haven't, I probably will, because that's a weekend thing. However, there's a whole lot of stuff. I could have done a whole episode on this email. Whole episode. But the meat of it is, yes, you've got a lot of guys out there that have gone to HF. They like HF operating, even though HF has deteriorated as far as the operating is concerned, because there used to be people sitting on there having QSO, having good, healthy rag chews all the time. And nowadays, you really have a hard time finding that. Oh, yes. Let's see. I understand that people have to work. I understand that people have families. I understand that, unfortunately, with all the things that are going on with the demographic of amateur radio operators, how it has changed over the years, that it's more difficult to get on the air and just hang out and stuff like that. However, that's also one of the things that has caused deterioration of at least the newer guys anyway, because the older guys, we apparently don't have time. We have jobs, we have families, we have all this stuff. We can't get on there and just kind of hang out and talk to the new guys and help guide them along, and I understand all that. However, demographic is probably must have also changed in the fact that there's fewer hams that, even though they do have a job, they don't have night jobs. That was something else that was really happening when I first got licensed. There were a lot of guys out there that worked at night, and we kind of kept each other company. But I'm not sure how to solve this problem either. As far as unfriendly clubs, I've spoken about unfriendly clubs before on this podcast, and how they clubs nowadays, you can go to a club meeting, walk in, you can be there a half hour, whatever, and nobody will say hi to you, shake your hand, won't even acknowledge that you're in the building. I've seen that happen to a lot of folks. In fact, there was a guy that I contacted when I was president of the Mesquite Club that didn't even live in the city of Mesquite, and it was a fair drive for him to get to a club meeting. But he came to the club meeting. I made him welcome. I did my best to make sure that he was involved as much as he could be involved. And over time, everybody quit paying attention to him, and he went away. This is true. Our hobby is less friendly. I remember when hams were like brothers, and it's not like that anymore. Okay, so thank you, David, for sending in your email, and we will definitely ruminate on that and see if we can figure out how to solve some of these issues in the hobby. Okay, this is really starting. This is really long. We're not even a part of the way. This may end up being an entire email episode. So let's break it right here and do some music.
Thank you. yet. Say you want up, will you beat my pet? Do you mean it when you hurt me so? Do you mean it when you hurt me so? There's one thing, baby, I would like to know.
Okay, and we're back. Ooh, like I said, this is getting to be a long one. I remembered something during the break that I probably needed to throw out there at the beginning. But for those of y'all that are still listening, Resonant Frequency is officially getting involved in the section manager election here in North Texas this time around. There's been some issues that have brought it to my attention that we need to use our forum to do the best we can. So if you're going to be involved in the section manager election in some shape, form, or fashion here in North Texas over the next year, please, please get in touch with me, because right now I'm not happy. I'm not happy. And being an ARRL member, I should probably not be irritated by the people that work for the ARRL, whether they're volunteers, paid, whatever. Y'all get in touch with me, and from time to time, we will be bringing some updates on that. All right, so let's see. We just finished a lovely, lovely letter from David Kahn. So let me jump right back in here. And problem is, we've got so many duplicates because the email boxes have been duplicated several times over the different websites as we were making the changeover. However, let's go ahead and move on to the next one. The next one's from Gary, WR1U, and it says, "Hi, Rich. My name is Gary. Call is WR1U. I live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and have noticed 2 meters and 440 are dead. I got licensed in 1989 and lived in Nashua, New Hampshire. Boy, I'm glad that, you know, in the early days, people used to send names and stuff in that just trying to trip me up. I'm nice to have some stuff I can pronounce. It is nice to have some stuff I can pronounce. All right. I got licensed in 1989, lived in Nashua, New Hampshire then, and the repeaters were buzzing all the time. I just went to Nashua recently for a weekend, and those repeaters were dead all the time. Here in Portsmouth, same thing. The repeaters are underutilized, and Simplex is almost non-existent. Simplex is almost non-existent here too. I'll get to that in a minute. I am blind, so I don't drive, so my mobile radio is an HT, but when at home, I use the dual band mobile with a Diamond X50 and only six repeaters. I can hit only six repeaters. I can hit well, and they are dead on 2 meters and 440. I can hit about eight, and same thing. I don't have any HF gear, but hope to fix that soon, and looking forward to it because there will be more people to talk to. Thanks for your show, 73. P.S. I have started a new Facebook group for blind or visually impaired hams called Blind Amateur Radio Operators. That's on Facebook, y'all. Just started, only five members, but if you could put in a mention, that would be great. Well, Gary, here's the official mention. All right, y'all go on over to Facebook. Everybody go on over to Facebook. I don't care if you're blind or not. Go over and help support Gary and his efforts on this. In fact, I'll go find it myself because I didn't really read this message that good the first time through. But I'll go back over there myself and sign up. That's Blind Amateur Radio Operators on Facebook. And I know a bunch of you guys are on Facebook. So y'all go over and check that out. Now, as far as non-existent Simplex, here in DFW, our case, we've got a group that hangs out on 147-420, and they've been hanging out there for 20, 25, 30 years. Same group of guys, new ones come in, old ones leave, but it's been the same bunch for as long as I've been licensed. Unfortunately, they're starting to get run off of their frequency because of a non-coordinated D-Star repeater running on simplex frequencies in Minden, Louisiana. This has become an issue. That's one of the things that's running guys off, because these state coordinators think that they can just start throwing D-Star repeaters up on these simplex frequencies. There was another group that used to hang out on the national calling frequency here locally. Nobody was using it, so they just decided to hang out there. Before that, there was another group in another part of town that used that same frequency to hang out and talk and everything else. So the problem is there's not enough education where simplex operation is concerned, because everybody gets on these repeaters. They can talk 30, 40 miles that way instead of creating themselves a good station where they can actually operate without the repeaters. And I guess this goes back to the whole repeater question David brought up. Why don't people support repeaters? Why don't people that support repeaters use the repeaters? We're running into some questions here that I'm going to have to wrestle with and probably bring up further on down the line. Last but not least, we had a group when I first got licensed that operated on 14655. And they were a good group of guys. Unfortunately, the good ones died. The squirrel ones hung around, run everybody off the frequency, deteriorated to the point that it sounded like 75 meters way late at night. However, Gary, thank you for writing in. And yes, everybody go over to Blind Amateur Radio Operators on Facebook and check it out. Go on over there, because it sounds to me like something that's worth supporting. All right. And we also have something I got from the website about Gary's gone over there and signed up as a listener over there. Y'all go on over to the website and sign up as a listener. I understand that there's no real requirement for all this. I don't require y'all to do anything, but it'd be nice for me to know the people that are out there listening, simply because I might be able to make things a little more personable. Over on the other show, we know a lot of the guys that listen, so it just makes things, more enjoyable for us on this end. All right, next one we've got is from Ray. Again, Ray writes in a lot. I like Ray. Ray is not bashful about giving me feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. All right, it says, glad to see you back on air. RF, the Amateur Radio Podcast, was one of the first podcasts I really got hooked on. Because of your show, I started listening to Linux Reality, Patio Books, the Practical Amateur Radio Podcast, Jerry's Got a Good Show, etc. And those in turn pointed me to many more podcasts. I can't say enough to thank you. As for the new format, I'm fine with it as long as you don't hit something while talking and driving. Stay safe. These people can't use cell phones and drive. However, us radio operators have been talking and driving for years, so I really don't know what the issue is. I'm sure the audio quality is going to suffer a little in a vehicle, but I am listening for content. If it gets to the point I can't understand the content, I'll let you know. And that I expect no less, Ray. For some reason, my iTunes has not downloaded the current episode. I've clicked update on it several times, and it still doesn't recognize 41 is available. But if I go to the iTunes store, it shows episode 41. I'll let you know if it clears up. In the meantime, I'll use the website. Thanks, 73 Ray. KO4RB. Well, Ray, thank you. And once again, for everybody listening, we've been having an issue with iTunes feed. I don't know what's going on with it, but I am still chipping away at it, trying to get it going. So y'all just bear with me. And if you can't get it that way, go over to the website. You can get the feed off the website, and it'll work just fine for you. It's been working fine for me. All right, so the next one is from BB, KC5PIY. And he was having, and the reason I left this in the feedback is simply because there was an issue with him signing up on the website. KC5PIY is also signed up as a listener on the website, and we had some issues. I'm not sure what it was. If you're signing up over at the website, please let me know if you have a problem. He had a problem. We ended up having to wipe that user out and then him go ahead and sign up for the website again. And once we did that, it started working. For some reason, he didn't get an activation email or something, which, yes, for those of y'all going over there, you're probably going to go, oh my God, why does he have all this security on here? Well, unfortunately, for some reason, we're getting hammered with spammers, and I'm doing my best to try and clear that stuff out and, make it harder for them to spam the site, because I know y'all don't want to look at it. All right, our next email is from Chris, NW5W. Hi, I'm trying to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, but I'm having problems. Says that it's returning text files or formats that iTunes can't play. Any ideas? Well, that, once again, like I said, we're having trouble with the feed. And that is something that we're working on rectifying, and we will get it taken care of as soon as possible. Okay, and our last piece of email is short and sweet, and it comes from Ted. I'm not sure which Ted, but one of the Teds. And it says, let's see, thanks for coming back on the air. I love listening to you, attitude, topics, rants, or whatnot. I agree with most of all your opinions, which may be why I like listening to you talk. So be it. You ask for emails and notes to you. Here you are. Ask, and if I can do it, I'll do it. This was an easy request to do. Well, alrighty. Thank you, Ted. And thank you for, you know, at the very least, letting me know you're out there. That's one of the problems is it, you know, it's kind of like doing a speech at the Ham Fest with a blindfold on. Because without the feedback, I don't know what y'all are thinking about what I'm doing. And rather than irritate a bunch of folks and run y'all off, I'd prefer that y'all let me know. Okay, I can see by the old clock ticking away on the recording device that we're probably getting close to where we need to have a break again. Now, unfortunately, we've gone a considerable amount of time on feedback. So I think when we get back, I'll just talk about some of the feedbacks that we've had, and then we'll go ahead and close the show. But y'all take you a short break for right now, and we'll be right back. Shame, babe, where you creep on me.
just can't see.
Y'all took a break, I took a break, gave me some time to ruminate on some of the stuff we've talked about, and all that good stuff. All right, well, it's like I said in the previous episode, VHF and UHF has turned into a wasteland. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Unfortunately, we're losing sight of the fact that a lot of folks are going backwards. Up in frequency is where we need to go. You know, David, I almost say his last name, David in 5DBK, he made some good points. Unfortunately, they are the truth, and we really need to work on this. You know, we do need to lose, we need to use these bands or we're going to lose them. Those of y'all that are newer to amateur radio, one of the things that I remember that y'all may not have been in the hobby long enough to remember, is that the 220 band, which is a really underutilized band amongst amateur radio operators for the most part, and I'm judging from my experience here in this part of the country, there's only a handful of 220 repeaters up and not a lot of people on them. It is so underutilized at one time, the FCC took a portion of the band away from us. They took it away from us because the UPS wanted to use 220 band for their truck. They lobbied the FCC. There wasn't a lot of activity on there. So we ended up losing a piece of the 220 band. Now, the thing that adds insult to injury where this is concerned is that after UPS went through all this, the FCC did this to us, and everything else, UPS decided they didn't want that piece of the 220 band. We didn't get it back. It was put up for auction, and now there's a portion of the 220 band which we don't have access to anymore, and this is one of the ways we can lose it if we don't use it. You know, there's other cases of us losing frequency allocations, but this is the one that's happened in my ham experience that I remember. So we really don't want to lose this. Y'all get out there and use that VHF, UHF. These new guys that are first getting on the air, you know, that's where they're going to show up. And that's when they're going to need their Elmers the most. Jerry Taylor talks about making Elmers one podcast at a time. Well, most of y'all don't have a podcast, at least I don't think so. I think I listen to all of the amateur radio podcasts and listen to them as long as I can stand them, the ones that I don't normally listen all the way through on. But the whole point is that if he's making Elmer's one podcast at a time, I'm doing the best to Elmer people through this podcast. The least y'all can do is get on those repeaters and try an Elmer a little bit. That's the problem. Everybody's an extra class, but nobody's an Elmer nowadays. I learn things from everybody. I learn things from people that have been licensed weak, because I don't know everything. Tell you the truth, I probably don't know a tenth of it. So y'all get out there and Elmer these guys. Now, as far as the mobile podcasts, the mobile episodes, we're going to keep trying to do those. Unfortunately, like I said, Studio 2M is a little louder than Studio 1M. And since Studio 1M is Mama's car, I try to use Studio 2M whenever possible. However, we will get some more of those episodes out. Y'all don't, and I am really sorry. This episode kind of turned into one of those feedback episodes like they have over at, like, Astronomy Cast or Going Linux or something like that. But I've got some topics. I got three or four topics I want to approach in the next little bit, and I sure enough want to get them out to y'all. So the content's there. I just have to have the time to record it. So y'all make sure y'all send your feedback in on previous episodes and stuff like that, because that's where I get a lot of my ideas, a lot of them. The rest of them I steal from Jerry over at the Practical Amateur Radio Podcast. You know we love you, Jerry. You know we love you over here. But we will get y'all some more episodes percolating. We're going to try and get back on a regular recording schedule and get that all straightened out. Okay, so let's see. We did. We talked a little bit about VHF, UHF. We talked a little bit about upcoming podcasts and stuff. I want to assure y'all the site is secure for the next year. We do need those donations to start coming in. We're trying to figure out a way to get the Amazon donations to come to convert into something we can use to pay the hosting fees. We've been able to buy equipment and stuff with that, but at this time it's not. The reason is we can buy equipment and stuff through Amazon using the gift cards that it generates. However, we need to figure out how to convert that to something that we can use to pay the hosting fees so that we don't have an issue like we had a few months back. And we are currently in the process of taking care of that. We will be bringing on one advertiser at this time. We've worked a deal out with Audible. And Audible is the best of the choices out there at the moment. So y'all be looking for that. We might be able to bring you a few deals. We'll see how that works out. What else? Oh, yes, Field Day is coming up. I'm going to try and get an episode out with the subject being something to do with Field Day. So y'all try and stay up with that. We're currently involved in the mobile installation project. I don't know if I mentioned it over here, but I did mention it on the other show. And we'll try and keep y'all up to speed on that also. In fact, I posted a picture of what's in the mobile right now over on Facebook. I think I put it on the show page. I'm not sure. Y'all go over and go on over and take a look. So far on HF, we've been able to work a handful of nets, Louisiana Race Aries net, Texas Traffic net, some other stuff. And we'll be getting into that soon. Okay, section manager election for North Texas. Those of y'all that are here in North Texas, you know, y'all get in touch with me and let me know how y'all feel about how things are going. I myself am disgruntled And being a whole bunch of things, official observer and all this other stuff, one of the things that really turns my crank is the fact that the folks at the league feel that the membership work for the league, not the other way around. And that's the problem with a 501c3 organization. I would like to know y'all's thoughts as we move forward on this. I believe nominations are due by October and November, and then we'll go to a vote in March. So y'all get in touch with me. Okay, the D-Star Bunch, y'all be listening for me. I'm going to try to be on D-Star more since I have that installed in the mobile and am in a situation to be able to use it. We're starting to take a look at some of the reflectors. There's a reflector, I believe, that's for running data, which is out of the UK, and I'm going to be checking that out. Reflector 1C seems to have a lot of nets going on it. And I have access to that. Well, luckily, the guy that runs the gateway here locally was nice enough to allow me access to the gateway. Y'all be looking for me. And if you see me on D-Star, give me a yell. Because I really want to talk to some of you guys. I want to talk to y'all on the air somehow. If I can't get you on HF, then we'll just do it that way. I used to have a real bad attitude about Echo Link, and D-Star is not a lot better except for the fact that it is user controllable from where you are, or more controllable. It will allow you down through the system. Now, for those of y'all who have D-Star but are not on a gateway, go find some group to get with and get on the gateway, because I guarantee that it will definitely help you. A lot of the problem that some people have with D-Star at this time is the same reason they go talk on repeaters, they don't help support, is because they're cheap. Go join the organization that runs the machine. So what else have we got before we go? Yeah, we've talked about Field Day, we've talked about D-Star, talked about HF. Y'all give me some ideas. We're ready to go. Best I can tell, we've been in business at Resonant Frequency since 2007. As best I can tell, I think it was 06, but it was probably 07. So y'all get with us and point us in the right direction for some of the information you'd like to have. Okay. Like I said, instead of jumping into a subject, I just thought I'd sit here and talk for a little bit, give you all some information, at least get an episode out to you. Hopefully next time we won't run so long on feedback and we'll be able to do some topics. At the very least, we'll be able to do topics out of the mobile. So the new website address is rfpodcast.info, rfpodcast.info. Now, you can put the www on there if you like, and it'll work, rfpodcast.info. If there's anybody out there that's familiar with the Drupal content management system, please get in touch with me, because I need some help. We'd like to thank Bill, while I'm thinking about it, K9WKA, who's our silent partner over at Resonant Frequency. He got the show notes up just jiffy quick because we lost him in the move. Y'all, the content's going to look kind of squirrely for a while because the current editor we've got is not real great. You can contact me now, no longer at blacksparrowmedia.com, but you can send emails to kb5jbv@gmail.com. kb5jbv@gmail.com. We may be getting an RF podcast email address set up. I will keep y'all posted on that. We also need to try and get Bill a contact email set up in case y'all need to get a hold of him. I think we've pretty much covered everything we can cover this time around. If y'all have any questions, suggestions, whatever, please get in touch with me. We will do our best to implement or something. And if we can't implement them, then we'll probably say one of those things that we end up saying on the other show. Unlike the other show, y'all get all of this one. If I decide to tell somebody where to go over here, y'all know y'all gonna hear it. Okay, y'all start thinking about Field Day. Don't forget. And with that, I guess we're gonna go ahead and move on down the road, and we'll see you next time.
We gotta go.